So, okay. Well, why don't we turn our attention to some scripture if you want to. I want to just share a couple of passages of scripture with you tonight before we go. Have a few minutes here together. We are going through, you know, a time of transition. We've been through transitions before at Good News. Certainly, we've had lots of various things happen. Never had a situation quite like the one we have right now where people that we love so dearly who've been such an integral part of our ministry and church that we're not going to see them on, you know, a daily basis. Already, Nate hasn't been, or Kristen nor Nate have been here. I'm used to seeing Nate every day at the office. Kristen, 3 days a week. And not seeing him, just seeing Nate on Wednesdays. I'm going to tell you a secret. When Nate only sees you one day a week, he's so sweet. Y'all know Nate's not the most touchy-feely guy. Grayson comes home last Wednesday night. He goes, y'all, Nate was like hugged up all over me today. And I'm like, I know, right? Right? Nate is not Mr. Touch Me, but he is. He's just been all like, because he's missing us, I can tell. But we're going to miss him just, you know, really a lot because we love him so much. But we also know and have had the opportunity to get adjusted to the idea that God is going to use them in somewhere else for the same purpose that he has for us, which is empowering people, expanding the kingdom, accomplishing God's mission, you know, working together on God's mission and raising up disciples. And so lots of awesome things are ahead, but, you know, I had to learn a long time ago that we all get together. We are all going to be together for eternity. The Bible tells us. I mean, one of my very favorite things the scripture says is, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those words comfort me. They comfort me because I have people that are already present with the Lord that I miss. But in 50 years, I'm going to be with them. This is, you know, 50, is that right? Yeah. About 50, I'll be ready. Yeah, 50 years. And so we'll be forever with the Lord. And so this time on earth is the time that we have to serve him and to do what he says. And if he moves my kid to Thailand, well, so shall we ever be with the Lord, you know? I don't know what's going to happen when Lindsay and Coleman get back here on Friday, but they have been extremely impacted by what has happened to them on this trip and the things that they've experienced. And, you know, you get texts from Coleman, he's just sobbing, you know. I don't know how I know that on a text, but I don't know. God's moving with them. I just say, we're just all got to be open to what God's doing. But for those of us who remain, as Matt says when he does the funerals, what about us who remain? So I've got two passages of scripture I want to share with those of us who remain. And the first one is from Ephesians chapter 5. And I shared these last week. I had a meeting with the leaders of our worship team, and I shared these passages with them. And they've been on my heart. I've shared them several other times since then. And I feel like it's something good for all of us as we go through this time together that we kind of shore up the things that are very essential, the things that are most essential to us. And being together and being in one accord and being on the same page and being for each other and being a family together and being the people of God who are together in God's mission is just so vital. We need each other. God put us together. God created us to belong to one another. And he's brought us together as people. And those of us who are Good News Church, he put us together. And he wants us to be together, to work together. He wants us to function together. And these things that we're going to talk about here are necessary if we're going to do that. And the first passage I want to read from is Ephesians 5, verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. And the word circumspectly, you know, that first part, circum, that's the root of that is the word circle. It means in a circle. And when you talk about walking circumspectly, you're talking about putting your head up and looking around. When you walk circumspectly, it doesn't mean like this. And this is an issue that we have as people because we all come together and we are like this. I've had my day, you've had your day, And not only do we come together and we're like this, but when we deal with each other, we often are like this. You know, I can just see what's going on with me. And frankly, that's what's most important to me. And the way I feel and what's happening to me is first on my agenda. That is, if I'm walking according to the course of this world. But he's saying, don't live this way. He's saying, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Part of that is of recognizing what's going on around you. But part of it is looking at each other and recognizing that, look, we're all we got. We got Jesus, but when it comes here, you know, I don't know about you, but I woke up one day, some years into my marriage, I don't know about y'all, I realized this. This was such a sobering day in my life. Oh my goodness. Boy, this was a rough day. I woke up and I looked across the pillow and I said, this is my husband. Do you know what I'm saying? I was just like, you know, I remember I had such high hopes, you know. And this is my husband. And then, I mean, that was just like not the best feeling. And I get up and I go and then that, and I'm like, and these are my kids. You know, I was going to have a great family. I was going to have awesome kids. And these are my kids, you know, and then you just look in the mirror and like, and this is you, you know, this is you. And then, you know, this is my life. It can just be depressing. You know what I mean? Just when you get to the reality that this is it, man, this is what we got. Well, y'all, I want you to kind of look around here tonight. This is it. This is it, man. Come Sunday, lift your head up, look around. This is who we got, you know. This is it. We can have hope there might be better, but this is it. What are we going to do with this? Do what? Face the brutal facts. Yeah, I can only imagine what Matt thought that morning as he lifted up his head and looked across the pillow. Oh, my Lord. What have you given me, Jesus? But here we are. And so, some, you know, that's kind of how it is. This is where we are. This is what we got. And what are we going to do with what we got? And verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not the people we're with are evil. The days are evil. And so we need to recognize it. We have each other. And then it goes on to say, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And if there was anything I could do for you tonight, if there was any button I could push, if there was any magic potion I could, you know, have you swallow that would help you to know what the will of God is, my goodness, I would give it to you. I would push that button. I would do whatever I could for you to help you know what the will of God is, because there's nothing more important for you than to know the will of God. The will of God. You need to know the will of God. And not your will, his will. What is the will of God? So don't be unwise, but understand. This gives me hope. Because he said, I should understand the will of God. And that means some way, somehow, God has a way of getting over to me the will of God. So that's something, I don't know about you, but that's something I look for in my life. Something I seek. Something I'm always endeavoring to find. What is the will of God? And we know the will of God begins right here. And I look in here, see what God's will. And I found that if I will align with this, if I will be obedient to this, then specific things that I need in my life that are the will of God, they'll become plain and become known to me. But this is where I start if I want to know what the will of God is. And he says to understand what the will of the Lord is. And then verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation. Notice he says, he's not telling us not to be drunk. I always appreciate that when I read this verse. He just says, don't be drunk with, like, you know, things the world would use to get drunk. But be filled with the Spirit, which can produce a really great high in itself. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love this. This is, we were talking about this with the worship leaders the other day. About there's an element of us speaking to each other when we sing. Now, you probably don't want me getting up in your face and singing to you. But speaking to there, it's so scriptural that we would speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we speak to one another, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So there's these two signs of us singing, singing to each other and singing to the Lord. And notice he says singing and making melody in your heart. Think about worshiping God from your heart. But then it goes on to say, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And I just want to invite all of us as we're going in this time of transition the next couple weeks. There's not this Sunday, but the next Sunday we're having the launch service for Nate, and lots of things are happening, and some things are happening with different teams and leaders, and all kinds of things are happening within the church and will be happening even more. We just need to submit to one another. We need to recognize that that we're going to have to work together, and we can't work together if we're not hooking up, submitting to one another. And so that means that we humble ourselves. That means that we come together and we recognize, you know, it's not just about me. I got to lift up my eyes, look around, see what's going on with other people. And part of it means I may need to take up some slack for somebody else. And if I need help, I need to ask for help from someone else. And there is this mutual help, aid, support that we got to tap into. I asked Grayson, I think it was yesterday. Grayson works at the office on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I said to Grayson, because when Nate was coming in today, and I said to Grayson, I said, what is it that Nate knows that we don't know that he knows that we need to know? And Grayson said, and I'm like, yeah, me either. And isn't that scary? Grayson said, well, we can call Nate. Thank God. But, you know, the reality is that there's just a lot of things that are coming ahead, not just for me or Grayson, but for a lot of us. There's just a lot of things that the Lord is dealing with us about, even in, you know, our own lives and ministries, and what Pete mentioned earlier about, you know, on Friday he's meeting with some people and he's stepping out and doing some things like showing people how to discover God and the scripture and God's will. God's bringing new things for all of us. And we're going to have to support each other and be together in this. And then the other verses I'm going to read are in Colossians chapter 3. And these kind of really get more to the point. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 12. I should have been again reading in verse 9 because it says, do not lie to one another. But we'll just skip that. And we'll go down to verse 12 where it says, therefore, as the elect of God. And I love that when you see in the scripture over and again, the scripture reminds us of who we are. You're not the people of the world. You are God's people. You are a holy habitation for our Lord. You are the body of Christ. You are God's people in the earth. You are his representatives, his ambassadors. You are not like the world. You are aliens in this world. And repeatedly, the scripture reminds us, you are the saints. Here he's saying, you are the elect of God, holy and beloved. We're beloved by our God. Put on, he tells us, to put on tender mercies. Now, this is an invitation to put on tender mercies. It may not be, Frank mentioned a moment ago about the flesh and the things you sometimes have to deal with your flesh. Well, put down your flesh and put on tender mercies. This is a choice. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Any time the scripture gives us an admonition about something like bearing with one another, it's sort of a warning or a caution to us. You are going to need to bear with one another. And if you haven't had to bear with me yet, you are going to have to bear with me at some point. And he says here, forgiving one another. If you haven't had to forgive another yet, you're going to have, the opportunity is going to come. Because this is what we're called to, and this is what we're commanded to, And this is what he expects of us as his people, as the holy and beloved of God, as the elect. These are the things he's asking of us. You know, you think I came out here on Wednesday night to hear this. Yeah, you did. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And then he goes on to tell us, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. I tell you, these are some words right here in the scripture that we do not very often take seriously. Because he even says that if you have a complaint against another, the way you handle your complaint is to forgive. But the reality is, in the world, the way you handle a complaint is to give voice to it. And you know what? It's the same thing in the church. If you have a complaint against another, give voice to it. But that's not what the scripture tells us. It tells us to forgive. Forgive one another. And then verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So these are choices. Put on love. Whatever you're wearing tonight, you put that on. You made a choice. You reached in your closet or in a drawer and you put that on. In the same way, you reach. It's yours. But you reach in and you put it on. Love has already been shed abroad in my heart. There are days I have to reach in and put that on. Because that's not, like Frank talked about, the flesh. That's not what is, you know, is on. That's not what I'm wearing exactly. But I have within me the love of God and I can put it on. Yeah, look at this picture. Look at these verses that we're reading. What if we live like this? What if this is who we were? What if the church was like this, y'all? What if we, in our homes, what if we were really like this? We would be so different than the world and the people around us. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And verse 15, we all love verse 15 because we want peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Have you ever noticed that the peace of God ruling in your hearts comes right after bearing with one another, forgiving one another? If you have a complaint against someone, forgive them. It comes right after having tender mercies, putting those on, kindness, humility, meekness. It comes right after this whole admonition to suffer long. It comes right after that. It comes right after putting on the bond of love. And right there is the peace of God ruling in our hearts. How is the peace of God going to rule in our hearts? How will the peace of God rule in our church? How will the peace of God rule in our homes if we don't do these things? If we don't obey this, if we don't allow ourselves to actually submit to one another and live the way that the Bible says. The peace of God, let it rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body. He's telling us this is what you were called to, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here again is this idea that we're going to sing to each other. Y'all watch out. Eddie tries to sing to us every year at Christmas. Eddie does the announcements during our Christmas program and sings. I'm going to see to it you're not scheduled this year for that. That will help us all to suffer longer, okay, and to have more tender mercies. But the singing to one another and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Is it interesting, even what we call worship and singing to God and gathering and entering into his presence, That part of that, in fact, the first thing he lists when he discusses that is this interaction that we have with each other. Yeah, I think we have so little understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ. No, I think we just have we're such individualists in the West as Americans. It's me, it's mine, it's my house, it's my kids, it's my life, it's my money. Everything is so just individualistic, and we don't recognize that we are not individuals, we are parts of a body. I just pray that we get a much greater revelation of this thing that we are. We are a body together. It may not be, you know, the body you always dreamed of. You know, you may have that moment where you look around and go, this is my husband. These are my kids. This is me, you know. But this is it, y'all. This is where you are. This is it. And so why don't we endeavor to be obedient to what he's saying to us here and see what he can do. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One thing we've done a lot when we've had discovery studies here, and one thing we've talked about a lot in the last year and are going to talk a lot more about in the days, weeks, months to come, is the idea that the Bible has been given not just so we have knowledge, but so we know what to obey. And look at this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I just you know, want to say that. We're in the middle of our week here. We come in here and we talk about things that will empower us in our lives. I'm going to tell you, in our lives, if we don't live lives that we can live in the name of our Lord, and by that I mean the things that we say, are these things that we can say confidently in the name of the Lord? Think about the words that we speak. The words we speak to each other, the words we speak in our homes, the words we speak to the people we work with, the words we speak to church people, the people we come in contact with. Are these words that we can speak in the name of Jesus? And then he says, all that you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, in our deeds, are the deeds that we do, the things that we do with our lives, the actions that we take, the behaviors we display, are these things we can do in the name of the Lord? Are they? Now, I bring all this up tonight. I wanted to kind of bring this up because of, I just feel like these are great things to remind us. But on Sunday, and Matt may need to remind me because I don't really know the wording of it, but one of the things that Matt said that was, I think, really had an impact on several people, maybe a lot of us, is he said, what is it about our faith? You remember this, Matt? What is it about our faith that our children, where's it? What is it about our faith commitment that does not find root in the lives of our children? What is it about our faith that our kids don't want to embrace? They don't want our faith commitment that they don't want to continue. They don't want to make it their lives. In other words, what is it about our faith, the way we practice our faith, the way we live out our faith? What is it that our kids, younger people, younger believers, don't want to embrace that, to make it their own, to continue it, to perpetuate it? What is it? Because I started tonight by telling you there's even another study that talks about, you know, a million young people leaving, even not just leaving the church, but they don't even want to be called Christians anymore. They don't even want to be associated with the whole mess. What is it about what we do? And I think about, we can say all kinds of things, but I just want to just put it out there that maybe if God's people live just according to these two short passages that we read, maybe it would make it much more attractive for young people or any people, if they were met with tender mercies, they saw people submitting to one another, humbling themselves, if they saw and experienced people that were kind and long-suffering, people who forgave each other when there was a real reason to complain, instead they forgave, people who made allowances for each other and bore, you know, would bear with one another, maybe it would be a lot easier for our kids to follow in our footsteps. I have to say that you know, it's easy for us all. And I, like the next guy, I want to blame the church, the Big C church, for why kids are dropping out or young people. And by kids, I mean people 30, 35 and under. Is that what age group were you talking about? 16 to 29. So I don't just mean like little kids. I'm talking about young, you know, the younger generation, younger than me. Anybody younger than me? But, you know, the problem with it, I don't know if y'all have noticed this. This is a real issue, a big, big, big issue that I have had in my life. And I don't know if y'all, any of y'all have had this, but it's been one of the biggest problems I've had in my life. And it's this. I live my life and I say a whole lot of good things. And I really give great instruction. But the big problem, I'm telling you, the biggest problem I've had is that my kids see how I really am. My kids live with me. I was starting to say they don't now, but that's a lie. They actually do. Two of them do. But, you know, the problem is not just the things I say. It's that they actually know what is going on. And therein lies the problem. It's not that I didn't take them to church. It's that, you know, on the way to the church, they heard me, you know, being a smart mouth to their dad. And they, after I got home, they saw me pouting all afternoon. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then they saw how I treated them or how I talked to somebody on the phone and got off the phone and really bad-mouthed them. And then they saw me, you know what I mean, taking the easy way through life. You understand? And so then they're like, well, I see you. You're one way there, but then how are you really? And I'm going to tell you, the kids know, and that's been a huge problem. It's a huge problem. Because they see how it really is. They know what's going on. I mean, you know, this is going to be surprising. Here's the real funny thing is how much your kids tell everybody else about you. You know, like, I'm sure the people who really know what's going on in the church are the people who work in kids ministry. They know what's going on with the families because kids just, like, they just blurt it out. You know? They just tell everybody your business. Well, my mommy and daddy, they had a big fight and they were yelling those bad words to each other. You know, they'll come, you're like, well, praise Jesus, you know? But, I mean, your kids, and then they get old enough, you know, they're like, well, it's just a game mom and dad play, and there's really no benefit in the payoff of the game. It's not like they're paying me to come to church. I mean, I'll go to work and play the game, because at least I get a check and some benefits, but why would I go over to church and play the game they play over there? I mean, I see them suck up to their boss, and they really talk so bad about him at home, and they hate him, but I see how they treat him there, but I understand they're doing that for money, but they're not doing that for money at the church. Well, why are they? You understand? This is the big problem. This might not be all the problem, but it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Matt always says this. He says, the very best thing you can do for anybody is to be in the will of God. The best thing you can do for your kids is to be in the will of God. The best thing you can do for your loved ones, for your friends, for the people you work with, for the people in your life that you would love to see come to Christ, the best thing that you can do is be in the will of God. And these things I read, those are the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. That we be like Jesus. That we love like Him. That we put on love. That we are meek and humble. And that we are kind. And that we are quick to forgive and we make allowances for one another. And I think if we all endeavored to obey this and to let God work this out in our lives and put our attention on it and lifted up our eyes from all the little issues that we have and look circumspectly and realize this is super, super, super important. It's more important. I was talking to a mom the other day that was having some issues. Some things that we're feeling really bad about. And I said, look, my kids didn't wear matching clothes most of the time. I don't think they ever, I think Grayson, if he had socks, if he could ever find socks, I'm sure they weren't even matching. He would wear one sock that was like, what do you call them when they're just a little like sock, like a little, but below the ankle, just, you know, like you can't even see it. He would wear that like with a knee sock, and he thought this was fine. I mean, how can you even stand that? Y'all, Grayson, to tell you, Grayson didn't know how to tie his shoes till he's in the fifth grade. Molly's hair, our beautiful Molly, her hair was green for 2 years because the chlorine in the pool turned her hair green, and I couldn't figure out how to get the green out of her hair. And I just let it be green. I remember she'd walk around, I'd go, I'm not mean it was kind of green. I mean, it was totally green. She'd be like, yeah, that's my daughter, the one with the green hair. I mean, it was just, my kids laugh whenever you hear stories about all the things parents go through to get their kids to clean their rooms. My kids were like, you never made us clean our rooms. You just never even came upstairs. Like, for years, you never even walked upstairs. I'm like, I know, right? I know. I mean, y'all, there's so much that you have to do trying to figure it all out. But my goodness, all those things we put so much effort into. And this should be where our effort is. Our effort should be in letting love clothe us. This is what we should be really about. This is very different than the way the world lives. The world cares if your socks match, if your hair is green, and if you can tie your shoes. It's actually good to tie your shoes, don't get me wrong. He was just a slow learner with the, I think it was the thumbs. I don't know. Who knows? Cat may be tying them now. Who knows? But he loves Jesus. And so I just want to admonish us all. These are just some really good principles for all of us. And these are good for your home. If you're having problems in your home, if you're having problems on your job, if you're having any kind of relational problems, go to those verses. Read those verses. Because that's the answer. The answer is not, Lord, change them. Lord, give me another job. Lord, make these people treat me better. Lord, all the things we're trying to put it off on somebody else. What about us? And honestly, the same thing with your family and your kids. If you're having problems with your kids, what about you, man? What's the deal with you? What's the deal? Are you right there. Read those verses. Be obedient to them. Hallelujah. We got to close. Thank you, Father. Father, I'm just so grateful that you put in your word truth. And it's truth that if we will allow it to come into our minds to challenge the things that we have held near and dear, if we will receive them as this is the word of God for me, and we will endeavor to tap into your grace and obey what the word says, that if we will lower ourselves and our own self demands, and will instead allow your word to be the authority of our lives. Father, you change us and you transform us and you bring peace and love and you bring unity and you cause things to be made right that have been terribly wrong, things that have been broken. You bring healing to people that are broken. You bring wholeness and you do it through the transforming power of obedience to your word. And I thank you tonight, Father, for that word, that we have it and that we can allow it to confront us and it will talk to us if only we'll listen. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.